turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to pick up with where we started covered this last time I preached. We're going to pick up with verse 25. I wasn't going to do this, but then yesterday we had a men's breakfast and I ate with Chris Hudgens and Ricky Watson. And I just felt impressed that I need to go back to the lying part. So, no, I'm teasing. I had that. But you did reinforce it. So, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. If you're not coming to the men's breakfast, you really should. It's such a wonderful thing. We got to hear a great testimony. And we start to get to know each other at a different level. So, all right, I'm going to read out of the NLT today because I just like the way it's just so easy to understand. He says in verse 25 of chapter 4, the book of Ephesians, so stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we're all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own. Isn't that great? Oh man, did you catch that? You're not your own. You're His. Amen. Guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger and harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are His dear children. Live a life with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Father God, we just come before You today. Lord, I'm thankful for the Spirit of God that's so prevalent in this service. I pray, God, that You would just begin to move across this congregation and do what only You can do. Father, You are the mender of the hearts. Lord, You are the healer of the body. God, You are the restorer of joy in the things of God. Lord, Satan paints a picture that will never change, but I'm so thankful he's a liar. God, I'm thankful, Lord, in our worst condition, when we're as low can get, You still loved us. And You looked down and said, I can do something with that. Hallelujah. Lord, I just thank You, God, for Your grace and Your mercy. I thank You, Lord. We're saved because You are good, not that we are good. God, I pray, let the Spirit of the Lord show people today the hope and glory and destiny that You have for them. Let this be a spiritual experience, God, not an emotional experience. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto You, for You are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last night I had a different experience. As we were down here and we were praying and seeking the Lord, and every Saturday night, 6:30, we just come and we intercede for this city, this country. How many knows America needs prayer? Amen. You know, I try to pray for America every day. I've got my clock, my phone set at 150. We're one nation with 50 states. So 150 every day, my phone sets an alarm. And so I pray. I don't spend a lot of time, but I just say, I used to say, God bless this great nation. And I had the Holy Spirit say, you're praying the wrong prayer. And I thought, oh, whoa, I better listen to that. And I said, okay, Lord, what is the right prayer? He said, pray, God, heal our nation. That's what we don't need more blessing. We need a healing. Amen. Old things passed away. Man, we need a new direction in America. And I know the new direction, and it's not Republican. And it's not Democrat. That's the roadmap for America, as well as the roadmap to your life. Amen. So he gives us, so last night when I was praying, I began to hear a lot of voices and going off in my head, and they said stuff like, I can't do that. I just can't live this way, and I can't do this. And I thought I was schizophrenic there for a while. I was having all these voices going. And I said, Lord, what is that? And he says, that's the voice of the congregation tomorrow when you preach. And I want you to know that what I'm going to preach to you today, you can't do. You can't. So don't try. But he can. See, sometimes we push towards the action. I'm not asking you to push towards the action. I'm telling you to push towards the Creator. And the Creator will do this in you. Amen. You know, sometimes people take verses out of context and they make them say whatever they want them to say. Probably the verse that you hear that more often than not is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I believe it's verse 9. It says, eye has not seen nor ear heard what's recorded in God's word for them that love him. And man, we talk about heaven and we talk about things and that ain't got nothing to do with it. Because we leave off verse 10. We just pull verse 9 out of there and we make it say what we want it to say. Eye is not seen and ear is not heard. What's recorded, what God is going to do for you. Verse 10 says, but the Spirit of the Lord has revealed it to you. You don't know in your flesh what God wants to do in your life. But the Spirit of the Lord knows, and he wants to reveal to you that there is a new destiny in you. So don't get caught up with the lie of the devil that says you're not going to change, you're always going to be this way. No, 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 that is not true. The Spirit of the Lord will reveal to you the destiny that God has for you. And then he doesn't just reveal it, but he'll take you there. Because you can't get there on your own. So he starts off and he says, okay, there's some things that you need to stop doing. There's some things you need to start doing. And I don't know why it's so much human nature for us to focus on the negatives. But we would call this, when I was a kid, clothesline preaching. Legalism. And so, but it's still the word. We still need to obey it. Because he's teaching us a lesson here. He says, stop the lying. Now, I preached this a couple weeks ago, and I think it had an effect. It had a whole lot more of an effect on you than what I thought it would have on you. It even had an effect on your children, because many of you have told me that your children have repeated this. But why do we stop lying? Because we are connected to one another. We are of one body. That's not Bridge of Hope. That's so much bigger than Bridge of Hope. That's not Assembly of God. It's so much bigger than Assembly of God. We are the body of Christ. You know, I do not, will not, never have lied to my wife. Because it kills a marriage. You see, marriage is built on trust, and a lie will erode the trust. Well, your relationship with God is also built on trust. Why? Because it's built on love. And love, its foundation, the foundation of love is trust. And God is trying to teach us to trust him. And he's saying, okay, you need to stop lying, start being truth tellers. And there's another verse that says, do speak the truth, but speak it in love. I find a lot of Christians forget that verse. They're truth tellers. They just forget the love part. You know, there's sometimes if you, not sometimes, there's all the time actually. If you can't say it in love, you ought to keep your mouth shut. It's good preaching, Pastor Kelleher, boy, that's it. He says, don't let sin control you. And he brings sin in with anger. Anger is an emotion. And you're going to get angry once in a while. It's just a natural emotion. There's nothing wrong with it by itself. He's saying in your anger, don't sin. He doesn't say it's a sin to be angry. He says in your anger, you're going to get mad. I mean, that's just an emotion. But in that anger, if you don't let go of it, the next verse says, Satan will use your anger as a foothold into your life. He will start building something in your mind because it's unforgiveness, and unforgiveness doesn't hurt the person you're mad at, it hurts you. So set yourself free and walk in forgiveness. There ain't nothing so bad that's ever happened in your life that's worthy of sending you to hell. That's strong preaching. Well, it ain't my words. It's the Lord's words. He said, if you want to be forgiven, you've got to forgive. And you can't be selective. Well, I'll forgive this one and I'll forgive. And I know when I'm standing here among this congregation with this many people, there are some bad things that's happened in your life. There's some really tragic things. And let me just say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that the world does that to people they say they love. But if you want to stop the offense, release it. And if you say, I can't, then I would say, but he can. See, all you got to say is, Jesus, will you help me to forgive? And he will enable you to forgive the persons or persons that have hurt you the most. Don't give the devil a foothold. Lots of things will open the door to the devil and a few windows. And we need to go around. We need to start closing doors and closing windows. And you know I'm talking, I hope you know, I'm talking about your mind, right? This is the battlefield right here. This is Satan's playground. See, if he controls this, he controls this. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And that's really where we're headed. He says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. How do you do that? By ignoring him. By not listening to him. You do understand that when you submitted your heart to Christ, when you asked him into your heart, the Holy Spirit came in your heart. The Holy Spirit, you know, the Word of God says you don't need a teacher. Why do you not need a teacher? Because the Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. So then why are we in church? Because the Lord said to be here. Because we can encourage one another, right? It's not about one man. It's about everybody joining arms together, supporting each other, loving each other. So that on your worst day, you know you've got a support group. The body of Christ. Hallelujah. So don't grieve the Holy Spirit. He says, get rid of these attitudes. And this is how we used to be. Now, I hope that you say that with me. Well, I used to be like that. If you still find identity in these, we got a little work to do in you. The Holy Spirit does. Bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words. That's getting a little closer to home right there. Slander, and all types of evil behavior. Instead of focusing on that, let's focus on this. But start doing these things. Let's be kind to one another. Let's be tender-hearted, forgiving one another. I love this statement. Always be humble and kind. Treva's mom, when they grew up, when they would start acting bad, she would say, "Be Christian, honey. Be Christian." And 50 years ago, that meant something. And today, we have dumbed down the word Christian to the point that it doesn't really mean anything. But Christian still means Christ-like. Are you Christ-like? Well, he's tender, he's forgiving, and he's kind. But it's chapter 5, verse 1 is where I wanted to get to. Be an imitator of Christ. That is our ultimate goal, is to look like the one who saved us. As dear children, walk in love. Imitating means to emulate his behavior, his character, and his actions. But before you can imitate Christ, you got to know who he is. You got to know, what does that even mean? How can I, you know, your children imitate you, right? When they're little. And sometimes when they're older, they imitate you and you get mad at them. Jesus, we can't visualize God, but we can Christ, because Christ was a man and he walked on this earth. And the Bible says in Hebrews 1, verse 3, I believe, that Jesus is the express image of God. If you want to know the character of God, you got to study Christ. In studying Jesus, you'll understand who God is, because they're one and the same. So I wanted to give you some of the characteristics, some of the attributes of God. And so the first 8, you're going to say, "I can't do that." And the truth of the matter is, you can't. You can't be infinite, because we are finite, right? He is infinite, self-existent. He is transcendence upon the universe. He is immutable, and I'm so thankful he is. Immutable means he cannot change. Listen to me, he will not change. He doesn't have to change. You need to change, but he doesn't. Why does he not change? Because he's perfect in every way. He cannot improve himself. That's awesome. Doesn't that blow your mind? God is immutable. So he says, "I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever." But in that, I can trust that. You know, I have a hard time trusting people that I never know who they're going to be. Someday they're on top of the world and they're a joy to be with, and the next time you meet them, they're... So what got into your Wheaties, right? What in the world happened to you? Yesterday you were fun. Aren't you thankful that God's not like that? Hallelujah. He's always the same, which means he's always good. The very thing that Satan came to Eve and he said, basically he said that you can't trust him. Has God really said that? See, Satan was trying to make Eve think that God's not a giver, he's a taker. And you can't trust him. Eve found out differently, and so have all of us. God can be trusted. I don't care where you're at today in your emotional walk. You may be at the bottom coming up. You may be at the top looking down. And it doesn't matter. God's the same. God is good, right? God is immutable. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times. He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. And he will use that power for you. Maybe you didn't get that. Maybe you think there's something going on in your life right now that God cannot do. Oh, you're so wrong. God can change any situation. Trust Him. You just trust Him. God is omniscience, all-knowing. Now, I get accused of that once in a while. I've had several people tell me, you're a know-it-all. And I'm like, I'm just trying to be like my daddy. No, that's never a compliment. But God is all-knowing. God is sovereign, meaning He's the ultimate authority and ruler. God is self-sufficient. He does not need anyone. He doesn't need us. He invites us in so that He can give to us. Thank the Lord. Now here is what He's really saying when He's saying, imitate God. God is holy. Be thou holy, for the Lord is holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. What is holiness? It's a separation from the world. It's that, in other words, you're walking along arm in arm with Satan. And all of a sudden, the Lord came to you and said, I choose you. I choose you. And He grabs you by the arm and He takes you out of the world and He separates you for a distinctive work. He wants to do something in you so wonderful. See, I can't be holy. I can't be righteous. But I am righteous. We need to change our talk. We need to quit calling ourselves a dirty, dirty worm. Right? Dirty sinner. No. You used to be a sinner. Now you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's the gift of God. I like this. It's the gift that keeps on giving. Because even when I sin and when I mess up and when I want to go back to the old hellhole that I was in, God's righteousness says, that's not for you, son. And He leads us back out of that pit. Oh, we go back to, the dog will go back to the vomit. They'll eat their own poop. So thankful they clean up after themselves, aren't you? Don't be like a dog. We ain't called to be dogs. I don't know why I say some of the things I say. Dear Jesus. I forgot. And that goes out on the way. Sorry, guys. God is holy and God is good. Oh, I love this saying. All the time. You see, there's a verse in the Bible that it says this. The Spirit of the Lord led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. You know, we have a hard time wrapping our heads around that. Why would the Spirit of the Lord lead him to be tempted? Because it's refining. You got to understand, we are like silver. And silver has to go through the fire to be purified to get all the ugly out so it will shine like we love. And that's what the world is. The world is a refining fire for us. Men, listen to me. That's what marriage is for us. Marriage is a refining fire. It teaches us not to be selfish. I think it does that for women too. In premarital counseling, I'll say something like this. Marriage is designed to kill you. The blessed hope to yourself. See, the greatest marriages in the world are two servants in love, serving each other. I'm so sorry that some of you have never experienced that yet. But I promise you, it's out there. It's out there. But you can't link arms with the world and expect to get God's blessing. You're choosing from the wrong pot. You've got to get you a one that's equally yoked with you. Amen. Okay, I'm preaching like six sermons right here. Okay. We need to be gracious. That means infinitely inclined to spare the guilty. Are you gracious? Or do you secretly pray, God, get them. Sick them, Jesus. Yeah, I have to. That's honest right there. Somebody makes you mad at work, what do? Lord, help them. Lord, help them. And sincerely, God help them. Let them see a better way. Aren't you thankful he's been gracious to you? You didn't get what you deserved. Jack tried to kill himself several times. And every one of us do that. Self-sabotage. But God. Hallelujah. My favorite word for God. God is faithful. You know, it says in the Bible, will you be faithful? When Jesus comes back, will you be faithful? Will you be found faithful? God's not called you to stand on your head. God's not called you to do these magnificent feats. God has called you to be faithful. Amen. I think every one of us can do that. We can be faithful. Now, in your faithfulness, you may do great and mighty things. I was listening to somebody yesterday, and they were talking about Mother Teresa. Was Mother Teresa a talented woman, an over-intelligent woman, a gifted woman? Mother Teresa was faithful. She was just faithful to love people the way God called her. Are you getting that? Maybe she could not do the things that she did in her own, but she was just faithful to God, and God used her and changed the world. She spoke to kings and she spoke to presidents. Here's this little 90-pound woman is having an effect upon all the earth. And we look at her and we want to elevate her. No, don't elevate. She's just a woman, just like you. Well, you may be a man. Don't be a woman. And please know the difference. God is kind. I'm thankful he is. God is merciful. And God is a giver. God's not a stingy God. You know, I find myself sometimes becoming stingy. And I repent of that a lot. God, forgive me. My resources are very limited, but his are not. So I believe God wants, you know, I'm going to preach a sermon one of these days you ain't going to like. It's going to go something like this. If you enjoy this church, thank a tither. That's less than half of you. I'm amazed at how the church or how people in the church will say, well, you need to be doing this. You need to be helping this person. You need to be helping that person. Well, how much did you give last year? You're really quick to want to spend everybody else's tithe, but your old stingy thing, you're not willing to give. God's a giver. And if I'm going to imitate him, I've got to be a giver. Right. Now, some of you say, I don't believe in tithing. Well, I don't care. A lot of things the Bible says I don't believe in. Guess what? I have to change my beliefs. Because Malachi said, will you rob God? Let me just tell you, I don't care where you fall on this issue. I don't want to stand before a holy God and him say, you stole from me. No, 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 no. I don't want it. And I'm also wise enough to know that the blessings that I walk in is because I've been faithful in my giving. My mother taught me as a little kid, you cannot outgive God. I mean, that's a true statement. Cast your bread upon the water. Watch it come back. God's a giver. But he doesn't just give money. He gives himself. Do you know it's easier to get money out of people today than it is their time? Yeah, people are selfish with their time. Well, I need my time. This is a me time. I'm so thankful Jesus didn't say, this is my time. You know, there's a crazy verse in the Bible that Jesus said that he endured the cross for the joy. How can you say cross and joy in the same verse? For the joy that was set upon him, he endured the cross. What's that all about? He looked ahead in time, because God is outside of time. He looked ahead in time and he saw you. And he says, I think I can change, Kurt. I think I can make a new creation on him. You identified with that testimony, didn't you?
Very much so.
Yep. Thank God. He's just as screwed up as you. So sorry. Hail Mary, full of grace, Father, thou, forgive me. Let me get back here to preaching. I need to stay close to my notes. The ultimate thing, the ultimate, we talk about all these characteristics, but it all comes down to one word: God is love. That's not my word for him, that's his word for himself. When God said, let me describe myself, he used one word. I'm love. And again, we've cheapened that. Oh my goodness. I'll say all the time, I love my dog, I love my wife, I love double cheeseburgers.
In that order.
In that order. Actually, no. I love double cheeseburgers. I love my... Love is proved in a couple of things. What are you willing to sacrifice? Don't tell me you love me unless you're willing to sacrifice. Husbands, you want to see your marriage change? Put the word sacrifice into your marriage. When she becomes greater than you, your marriage will flourish. When her desires and her wishes, I'll guarantee you that's the way he loves you. You can't come up here and say what you said without doing this. He sacrifices for you. You're more important than he is.
That's right.
See, that's what Jesus did. Jesus said, I'm going to sacrifice for you. I'm going to give my time. I'm going to give my energy. You know, energy is just like money. You only have so much of it. And some of us, men especially, but I think it's a woman thing too now. Some of us give everything we got at work. And then when we come home, all the wife gets, all the children get is leftovers. I'm guilty too. Save some of yourself for your family. Put your family above your job. Put God first. Seek first the kingdom. That doesn't mean you give your kids everything they want. I think that's a real misconception. I don't know about you. Jesus don't give me everything I ask for. Right? You know, he had the audacity to tell me no. Because some of the things that I have asked Jesus for would have killed me. But he loves me enough to tell me no. There's some trust going into that statement. Can you trust Jesus to tell you no? When you understand he loves you He only wants good for you. He's always kind. He's always full of grace, full of mercy. He will not let you destroy yourself without Him interceding. Now, if you persist, that's a great testimony. But if Jack said no to the Holy Spirit, Jack would be a dead man today. And his ending result would not have been where his future home is going to be. That didn't make sense to some of you. He would have gone to hell without Christ. But thankfully, his eyes were open. And he saw. I don't know if you caught it. He did this. I called on him. Let me finish up. I know some of us may be thinking, I just can't do this. You know, Isaiah says in Isaiah 55, he said, my thoughts are nothing like the thoughts of the Lord. My ways are far beyond anything you could imagine, says the Lord. My thoughts are not like him. My actions are not like him. But Philippians says, let this mind be in you, which was also Christ, which also was in God, who thought it, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation and taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. You can't do what I'm preaching today without him. I was sitting right there as worship service was going, and my mind was on my sermon. I was thinking about all these characteristics that I was going to talk about today. And all of a sudden, I realized those are all fruit of the Spirit. You don't do the fruit of the Spirit. You become the fruit of the Spirit. It's Jesus in you. See, quit trying to change your actions and just fall in love with him. And as you fall in love with him and submit your will to his will, all of a sudden the Spirit begins to change you. And it's his love that comes. I can't be that loving, that kind, that gracious. Not my nature. Not until I had a nature change. Right? The Lord's given me a new nature. Thank you, Jesus. I needed one. I can't imitate God until after I have a heart change. And when I have a heart change, I want to be like him. Just like a little kid wants to be like his daddy or his mama. When you fall in love with Jesus, you're going to want to be like him. And so when I see this word imitate Christ and the things that I think I can't do, really all it's saying is just fall in line. Just fall in line and walk in submission. That's really all the Lord asks of us. Just submit to God. And all these things, all the things that he wants us to do and wants us to be, he'll take care of. Doesn't that take the pressure off? Yes. I don't have to be good. He's good. Right? I don't have to be gracious. He's gracious. So what do I have to do? I just have to trust Jesus and walk hand in hand with him. And then he fulfills this verse in me so that I can imitate him, so that I can be like my daddy. I'm so thankful for that. Gandhi said this. He said, your words... No, let's back it up. Your beliefs become your thoughts. And your thoughts become your words. Your words become your actions. Your actions become your habits. Your habits become your values, and your values become your destiny. So we want Jesus at the beginning of this, not the end. Maybe that doesn't minister to anybody. But all my life, I have tried to do and I've tried to be. And I'm just here to take the pressure off of you and say, quit trying to do all that. Let's just fall in love with Jesus. He'll do it. I know that sounds oversimplistic. But you know, I find that Jesus is simple for us. He keeps things simple. He doesn't call a sheep for anything. You know, Peter preached a great sermon on the day of Pentecost. And something happened. Bible says 3,000 people got saved at that one sermon. But during Peter's preaching, I feel like Peter hesitated. And they were cut to their heart. The people that was listening were cut to their heart. And then I think all of a sudden, one man out of a desperate cry, he said, what shall we do? That's the right question. Every time that the Spirit of God moves, when we're in church or you're by yourself and the Lord begins to talk to you, your question ought to be, what do I do, God? What are you requiring of me? What are you asking me to do? Because God wants us to do something. There should be a response to a move of the Spirit. When God moves on your heart, there's got to be a response. And no response is a no. I will not move. I will not change. I will not submit. I think it was Treva's little brother when he was being disciplined one time. He said, on the outside I'm doing this, but in the inside I'm not. I find that we're like that many times. On the inside, we're like, no, I'm not changing. But if you understand, he only wants good for you. He only wants your best. And he's taking you to a place that you can't get there without him. I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about here on earth. God has something in store for you. What shall you do? Stand. We've got a big day today of sharing the love of Jesus with people that maybe you've never met. What an honor, what a glory to represent him, to share the love of Christ. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? I'm going to keep my eyes closed. But I want to ask you, will you submit to the Lord today? I believe that's what he's asking. Will you say, not my will, but your will, Lord? If you would, and I promise you, my eyes are closed because this is between you and the Lord. Would you just lift your hands before the Lord? Say, God, I'm willing to submit to you. Father God, you see every hand and you read every heart. You've asked us to submit to you, to draw near to you, and you would draw near to us. God, I have no clue what these people need other than you. Lord, some of them may need to stop lying and stop stealing and get off the anger train. But I believe that more specifically, I believe that really, we really do want to imitate you. We want our lives to count for you. God, we're so thankful and we celebrate what you've done in Jack's life. And Lord, he's duplicated probably 300 times over in this congregation. Every one of us have a past. And we're so thankful that every one of us have had a but God in our life who is rich in mercy and love. God, your love is so deep that to think that I have to imitate your love, I just don't have words. God, I can't do it. But I'm going to allow you, and I submit to you, God, that you would change my heart to make me loving. God, by nature, I'm really selfish. I really do want my way all the time. But Lord, I'm willing to change if you'll change me. God, you saw the hearts. You saw the hands. You know the people that are praying a very sincere prayer today. And I pray, God, that you would begin to reveal to them the destiny that you have got for them, the work that you're wanting to do in their life. And I pray, God, that you would blow upon this congregation hope. God, that we would be full of hope for what you're doing in our life. And we say thank you. Thank you that we are not the people that we used to be. God, sometimes when we look at the past, it angers us. God, it sort of makes us sick at our stomach of what we used to be. But I'm thankful I'm not that person any longer. I'm a new creation in Christ. And for that, I say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who reigns supremely in this world. And you know me by name. And one of these days, the book is going to be opened. And I know my name is written in that book. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy and your kindness and your love in my life. And I want to be like you in every way. Help me, Jesus. Would you just say that? Help me, Jesus. Come on, say it again. Help me, Jesus. Be like you. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Denny, would you come and close us in prayer? If you've never accepted Christ in your life, really it's that prayer. Doesn't sound like a salvation prayer, but really what it is you're just saying, I submit to you. Now, the one thing that you probably should say is, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. And he will. He will come and he will make you a new creation in Christ. He will paint you a new future and a new hope. Amen. Aren't you thankful for Christ? Hallelujah.
Wasn't it such an encouragement to get to hear Jack's testimony this morning? It's fantastic. So, I want to encourage you, if you've never shared your salvation testimony with anybody, take a few minutes to sit down and kind of write it out and see if you can condense it down to 5 minutes, and then maybe we'll have the opportunity. We get more and more people to be able to share in service. It'd be wonderful. So, also, I noticed as the service was starting this morning, and as you can look around and see, we're pretty full today. So if you had trouble finding a seat this week, I encourage you to come to Sunday school next week so that you're here earlier and you can get a better seat. So plus it's a whole lot easier. Parking's a lot better for Sunday school, and it's just better all the way around. 9 o'clock, things are great. So amen. Raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you and may he keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen.